It was Proposal 3 in the fall of 2022 when Michigan voters enshrined reproductive rights into the Michigan Constitution by a healthy margin. The ballot proposal passed. Subsequently, there had to be enabling legislation that came through the Michigan legislature. And as part of that, a 24-hour waiting period was left in place, mandating counseling for women that are seeking an abortion. It was not changed legislatively. Now, a reproductive rights group is filing suit saying that 24-hour wait period is counter to the Proposal 3 mandates, that there is a conflict there, and they want the 24-hour waiting period ended. Rabia McAdam joins us live this morning. She is senior attorney for the Center for Reproductive Rights. Rabia, good morning.
Good morning.
So tell me, I don't remember, and I think a lot of our listeners won't either, in Proposal 3, was it silent on the 24-hour waiting period, or did it embrace it? Did we vote for this?
Prop 3 doesn't weigh in on any particular law. But what it says is that there is a fundamental right, and a fundamental right subject to the highest level of constitutional review. So any law that restricts abortion, including the 24-hour delay, has to survive that constitutional analysis. And our view is that the delay law, in addition to the other components we've challenged, do not pass constitutional muster under that very high standard.
So your clients, Northland Family Planning Center and the Medical Students for Choice, they argue that the Michigan's laws infringe on Proposal 3. Can you kind of explain to us how these laws contradict the proposal?
Sure. So one of the aspects of Prop 3 is that the state can only advance one particular interest when it restricts abortion, and that interest is in patient health, consistent with the standard of care, and without intruding on an individual's decision-making. So this is a very specific interest, and the state has to be able to show that these laws actually advance that interest. And what we've presented is the immense medical consensus supported by decades of research that waiting periods, mandatory counseling laws, and restrictions on providers actually have no benefit whatsoever to patient health, but they actually undermine it. And so we think it's quite clear that based on the standard in the amendment, these laws do not survive constitutional review.
The Assistant Attorney General would argue that mandatory counseling isn't supposed to be discriminatory. It's just supposed to be informative. And you don't have to increase your what you spend for the 24-hour waiting period because you can do the informed consent confirmation form online. What would you say to those arguments?
They're not true. The facts that we've presented from some of the preeminent experts on informed consent have demonstrated that mandatory waiting periods do not improve patients' decision-making. Mandatory counseling is contrary to informed consent, which is inherently individualized. And all of these laws harm patients. And so what the lawyer for the other side said in our hearing yesterday is, well, you know, we think these laws improve decision-making. We think they protect people's decision-making. But the fact, and supported by innumerable research studies, is that they just don't. That's just not true. So we're optimistic that these laws will eventually be struck down.
And yet this process is irreversible. What's wrong with having a period, just 24 hours, for reflection? Anecdotally, we've heard from women who said that it was helpful.
The reality for patients seeking abortion is that nobody forces patients to have an abortion if they're not ready. What the delay law does is mandate for every single patient in Michigan this forced timeout. And so for patients who need more time, they can take more time. But for the vast majority of patients who want time-sensitive abortion care when they're ready, this is a very significant barrier. And I think the most important aspect of all of these laws is that they are one-size-fits-all for every single patient.
Mm-hmm.
And what Prop 3 stands for is that the state can no longer single out abortion for unique treatment. Abortion should be treated like any other form of health care. So when we look at these laws, they don't serve the interests that the state purports that it's advancing, but they actually undermine it. And so whether or not some patients want to take more time, they do. These laws don't actually have any effect on that. But what they do is force the vast majority of patients who are ready to wait unnecessarily. And abortion is time sensitive. And I think another important aspect is that Prop 3 limits the state's interest to patient health consistent with the standard of care and without intruding upon an individual's autonomous decision making. And these laws were actually intended to do just that, to persuade people to make a different choice based on the state's value judgment. And under Prop 3, that is categorically not allowed.
The lawsuit also challenges the ban on advanced practice clinicians performing abortions. Now, that ban, how does that impact the access to reproductive health care, especially in areas with underserved, patients?
Maybe define who advanced practitioner care. What does that mean also?
Sure. So advanced practice clinicians encompasses advanced practice nurses, like nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, and certified nurse midwives. These are highly skilled providers. And I think the most important fact here is that in Michigan, ATCs are already providing identical care to early abortion for patients who experience miscarriage. So we have qualified and trained providers who are ready to provide this care, but they're being prohibited because of this arbitrary distinction. And to the earlier question, there are huge reproductive health deserts in Michigan, particularly in the Upper Peninsula. And so this restriction drastically limits the availability of care, especially for people who are in more rural parts of the state and for others who face traditional barriers to healthcare access, like Michiganders of color. So without this arbitrary restriction, which again does not serve patient health, but arbitrary limits access, we think that just cannot survive under Prop 3.
Just briefly, we only have less than a minute left. The idea of protecting IVF on the national level, what do you think of the latest bill proposed by Senator Cruz and Britt?
I think it's very apparent that opponents of abortion are opponents of all reproductive health care, including IVF. And there is absolutely no real guarantee that any of these politicians want to protect IVF. And so I'm very skeptical of those efforts.
Rabia McAdam, we thank you for your time and the Center for Reproductive Rights. We will be following this lawsuit carefully.
Thank you.
Thank you. We should know the reason it was left in that 24-hour waiting period is at the time Democrats in the House and Senate didn't feel they could get this bill passed.
They didn't agree.
Without
so
it,
they
right?
Didn't put
and
it in.
Parental consent as well. Both are considered to be under attack in this new session. We'll be back.